28 this morning. And how many had a great week this week? How many of you are just glad Sunday got here? Amen. I welcome Sundays many times. Many times it's just good to just unravel the week on Sunday. God meant it as a day of rest, I believe. I believe it is a time of rest, and we get spiritual rest from the Word. Amen. And so thank the Lord for that. Well, we're going to look at another Psalm of Degrees here this morning, Psalm chapter 128. And just to refresh your minds, Psalm of Degrees is about these songs that were written, many by David, many by others, some anonymous, some we don't know, but is for the purpose of entering into the house of God. They were more or less preparing their heart to seek the Lord. And I think that's a great idea. I think that's important for Christians to prepare our hearts when we go to the Lord. Amen? And that's what this is. And I think that's what the intent of this passage of Scripture is. And the passage today talks and combines the blessings of fearing the Lord with the families. And I love the fact how the Bible refers so much to our families and the blessings that connect our families. There are blessings according to nations. There are blessings according to individuals. There are blessings according to churches. But it may surprise you, too, to know that there are blessings in accordance to families. Family blessings. And we're going to look at that today and focus on some of that this morning. So let's begin Psalm 128. We'll read the whole psalm this morning. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, we just ask your grace and your help this morning as we open the Bible and teach it. Lord, we need you today. We need to rightly divide it and Lord, to gain, Lord, the truths of your word this morning for our lives. And so, God, would you guide us? Would you direct us this morning? Would you help us, I pray, to yield to you and hear thy word this morning, that, God, thy word may speak to us and meet the needs of where we are in our life and in our personal walk with you. So bless it, we pray, this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're coming to another psalm here, which is a psalm of degrees in Psalms, and this particular one pertains to families. I believe this passage of Scripture is mainly speaking to fathers, the heads of the family, to us dads, the leaders of the home. And by the way, society sure wants to confuse the roles that God has placed in His Word today. And when we confuse the roles, we end up with difficulty and problems because God has put specific blessings in accordance to those roles that are followed. And we even see these in the Bible. You know, Christ is the head of the man, and the head of the wife is, or the head of the man is, no, I got it wrong. God's the head, then man, then woman, then the children. You got that part right, didn't you? Okay. All right. Just humor me sometimes. But that's how it goes. And I believe that when these roles are fulfilled in God's plan, there's blessings in it. There's blessings in it. And so we need to see it. We need to understand what the Bible's teaching here. So let's begin. Let's dig into it this morning. Fearing the Lord, first of all, fearing the Lord connects us with blessings. Verse 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Now, fearing the Lord is this godly internal respect that we have in a yielded heart to God. It is this this spirit that understands that God is sovereign. He is in control. Beside him, there is none else. And it also recognizes our own human frailty and sinfulness. It recognizes that we are sinners before God. We're imperfect. And I think it helps us fear the Lord, have a godly respect. And I can tell you, this truth is diminishing in our country today. People don't fear God as much. You know, the Lord's Day, God's told us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. And, you know, what we see in the world today, so many people just off having sports and picnics and boats. And you know, some of those things aren't wrong, but God has a day. God has a day when we're supposed to worship him and honor him. And we need to fear the Lord in his commandments. Fear the Lord. We don't see much fear of God today. The way many people live. And oftentimes Christians get caught up in this idea that I can live however I want to and still be blessed by God. And I have news for you, it doesn't work that way. We have to obey God. We have to follow God. There has to be a godly fear of God in our life as we live our life every day. And I think this world would be so much better if we lived with this daily recognition of God. So the Lord says, fear the Lord connects us with those blessings. Now, notice he says to those who walk in his ways. And it's, you know, this is a choice in life. We have a choice. God does not twist our arm behind our back as to how we should live our life. So we have to choose on purpose God's ways from our heart. We can't, if we're neglectful of choosing God's ways, we miss these blessings that he's talking about here. And I believe that mainly this is referring to men, us husbands, us fathers, leaders of the home. There's a lot of blessings that can come if we fulfill our role, and there's a lot of blessings that won't happen if us men don't fulfill the godly role that God has for us. It's a role of holiness. It's a role of leadership. It's a role of integrity. It's a role of faithfulness. Amen? But what the Psalm's teaching us is that there's blessings from God in these roles that God gives us. There's a lot of blessings from God. And us men, listen, men, we shouldn't be afraid to take up the role of being that leader, that godly man in the home. We should not be afraid of that. We should not fear that. We should not stand back. Amen? And can I say, ladies, also, if you have a godly husband that wants to follow the Lord, then God wants you to submit to him and be submissive to a godly husband. And if that man wants to lead in godly ways, don't be the one that bucks that. Be the one that follows behind that. Why? Because he's trying to fear the Lord. Amen? Sometimes we judge people by their imperfections, but, you know, we don't need to judge the people by their imperfections. We need to follow what God wants, fear the Lord always in his ways. It's a challenge to us men. It's an example of how us men need to mount up with true, genuine, godly, spiritual life in our lives. Why? Because our families are blessed behind that. Amen? We live in a time when, you know, a lot of this in society has changed. And we see women taking up the role of leader in the home today. And I'm thankful for godly women. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for ladies who are faithful and godly, but men, it's our responsibility to lead our homes. That is the blessings of God. And he's talking about that here. He's referring to that. That's, I believe, the context of the passage here. And so he's reminding us about that. We're walking his ways. Are you walking in God's right ways? All right. Are you choosing his path? It's a choice. Okay. Now, let's look number two here. There are personal labor connects us with his blessings. Verse 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. God gives us happiness. You know, there's happiness in labor. There's happiness in labor. There's something satisfying about, as he puts it, eating the bread of thine own hand. There's something satisfying and wonderful about working for it. And eating your own food by your own hand, the labor that's needed to produce that. There's something amazing about that, something good. And God says, again, we see this intimating towards men, us men who are the laborers of our home, and we should take up that role. Amen? Take up that role as provider of our homes. And not shirk that responsibility, but take upon us. And and God says, if we do, we'll be happy. And then in verse 2, it shall be well with thee. You can see God's pleasure in that. God says, it's going to be good with you. It's going to be well with you. And this is what God's trying to teach us. It's going to be well with you when we follow God's ways. Now that doesn't mean that we never go through trials. Doesn't mean we never go through troubles, because God is always trying to make something of us through trials. There are things in life that you and I would not be stronger in had you and I not had a trial. And I'm amazed and reminded again how much God works through our trials and our troubles. Now, it goes on here to say, verse number 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Now, we see, thirdly, God's blessings on our wives. Here is a fruitfulness. Fruitfulness here pictures growth. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Notice the closeness she has to her husband. She's this picture of this growing vine. And she's flourishing. And I will say this, you know, us men, we have a lot to do with whether our wives are flourishing and growing as compared to whether they're dying and drying. Us men have a lot to do with that. Our leadership, our fearing the Lord, our walking in God's ways, those are the key elements to our wives living fruitful, and she's close to her husband. There's nothing better than a husband and a wife who love God and love each other. There's nothing better in a family than that. And we need to honor that. We need to uplift that because it's a picture of fruitfulness by the house. And it's a picture of growth and productivity. You know, ladies, there is a productivity for you. And oftentimes I find ladies can be very productive in serving the Lord. Ladies can accomplish a lot of things in serving the Lord. There are some roles that God wants men to take up, you know, like being the preacher and the leader. Those are things, the roles that God wants men to take up. And by the way, if we don't take them up, our wives might slip in there and take them. Right? Because somebody's got to lead. Amen? Somebody's got to keep that thing going in the right direction. And it should be us men. That's our responsibility and our role. And you know, man, we ought to embrace that role. We ought to take that as a challenge and take it as a as something in our own hearts and lives that says, I am going to be that man that God wants me to be. We need to rise to that. Because it affects our wives and it affects her fruitfulness, her growth, her productivity, and her closeness with us. Amen. Well, I see a lot of homes are not close anymore. And, you know, homes need to be close. Amen. Husbands and wives need to be close. Don't let your marriage drift into dullness. Amen. Don't let it. Listen, keep honey in the honeymoon. Right? And us men, we have a lot to do with that. Our walk with God, our fear of God. And I believe this, when you fear God, you're going to have a better relationship with your wife. Amen? You're going to have a better relationship with your wife when you're walking in God's ways. And some men struggle with it, but it's a choice that we have to accept and take and receive it as God wants us to. Well, then he talks about children here. We saw this last week, but I like this. He says, thy children are like olive plants around thy table. olive plants. Hey, my little olive plant. Amen. It's biblical to name your children Olive. Amen. How many of you remember Popeye's girlfriend, Olive Oil? Yeah. That's probably a biblical name because the children are like olive plants. Well, what's he talking about here? Well, he's saying that children, there's some things special about an olive plant. First of all, it takes time for them to grow. It takes time for them to produce. An olive tree grows very slow. And so it's years before it produces. And it's a long time. But they thrive in these desert places. When I was in Israel, they took us to an area where the Garden of Gethsemane probably was at the time of Christ. And there were trees there that were olive trees that were hundreds of years old. Olive trees just keep growing and growing. They never die until they're cut down. And then sometimes an olive tree, if you cut it down, right from where you cut it down, it will begin again to grow off of the stump. And it does that even in a dry place. And, you know, as a dad, it's tough sometimes because we see our kids go through dry places in life. We see them go through dry times. But yet if they're grounded in the Lord, those dry times will see them through. God will see them through those dry times. Amen? Those times will not be wasted and they won't be emptied. And notice they grow perpetually. An olive tree just keeps on growing. Keeps on growing. There were trees in that Garden of Gethsemane in that area in Jerusalem where I visited. There were trees there that they say have been there since the time of Christ. And I looked around and I thought, well, how are they watering that tree? I don't know, they weren't watering it. It had its own source of productivity. And you see, if we're walking in God's ways, not only is our wife gonna be blessed, but our children are gonna be like these olive plants, amen? And they're gonna grow in the Lord. They're going to grow in the Lord. Sometimes a home doesn't have a leader. Sometimes a home doesn't have this godly, spiritual man. But you know, God will bless that individual. Maybe a mother sometimes has to take up the reins and be that spiritual leader. That's a hard role to fulfill, isn't it? That's a hard role to fulfill because you want to lead, but at the same time, God wants you to be submissive to your husband. But sometimes a husband is just not walking with God. He's not choosing God's paths. You say, well, what do you do in that case? Well, do you know that a Bible teaches an unsaved husband can be won by the conversation of their wives? You say, what does that mean? It means the manner of living by which you live. Your godliness can oftentimes be the effect that a husband needs to turn their life around. I've heard of many examples of how a lady, a godly Christian lady, has had an influence on her lost husband. He gets saved. I remember a dear lady in Colorado, Brenda Lehman. I was a Christian school principal for a while. Can you imagine me, a Christian school principal? Man, I was so mean back then. Oh, you just ask those kids. They were like, they started shaking when I walked in the door. I mean, they just, you know, I was a different person back then. No, I really wasn't. My problem was I was too nice. And that's usually where we end up. But anyhow, Brenda Lehman, she was a teacher in that school, a single lady. She raised three kids, and her husband wasn't saved, and he was drunk. And I even remember the kids telling stories of how they had to go to the bar. I mean, 10, 12-year-old boys go to the bar midnight and pull their dad out of the bar and say, come home, Dad. Well, that's a tough life. That's a tough way to live, you know. But Brenda's faithfulness to God, eventually her husband got saved. He got right with God, turned his life around. And by the way, Brenda Lehman has a son today that is a preacher of the gospel. He pastors a church, I believe it's Ohio. Pray for that anyhow. God knows a lot of those Ohio people really need the Lord. I mean, it's a desperate situation up there, folks. Amen? So you got to really pray about that. By the way, you know, so I only say that just because I'm a little ornery. Amen? And you can't quit being ornery in life. I mean, it's boring and dull if you quit being ornery in life, you know? It just doesn't make sense to me. But so anyhow, but her husband turned around, serving the Lord there in church this morning. Serving the Lord, and the kids are doing well. You know, I'll tell you what, wives, you can serve a biblical role in seeing that husband get saved. And you ought to take courage in that and believe the word of God and trust it and live as God would have you to live, because that will affect an unsaved husband. And then there are husbands that are saved, but they're not serving the Lord, and it doesn't seem like there's any desire there. And maybe the wife has a desire to serve the Lord, go to church, but there just doesn't seem to be any desire, you know. Can I tell you that the way you live will also affect a man, and the way you treat your husband will also affect his heart to want to serve the Lord and become more like Christ. And so it takes a lot of prayer, a lot of faithfulness, hard work, following the Bible, love. Amen. And those are situations often that cause frustration. And it causes a lot of difficulty and sometimes a lot of hurt. But I believe if you just keep with it, stay with what God wants you to do, and just keep on that right path. God will bless that. And God can put homes back together through a faithful, godly wife who loves the Lord. Amen? So I'm saying this morning that our children, they can grow perpetually. And just keep on growing. Just keep on doing well. Keep on seeing God's blessings in their life. You know, it reminds me of that verse in 3 John that says, I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in the truth. That's a joy of life. I want my kids walking in truth. Amen. And there's no greater joy than that. That's a great joy. Amen. If they want to walk like the world, then I might come behind and give them a swift kick every once in a while. If they want to walk after the devil, those ways are going to be bad for their life. But I think this connection of building a godly home, beginning with the men. And by the way, where are real godly men in our world today? What's happened to that? Have we relegated the role that a man should have to our wives? I say not. I say we ought to keep God's role. Be that godly man that home needs. Amen? You say, but I'm imperfect. Well, welcome to the world of everybody else imperfect. But we stay at it. We keep working on it. We keep being faithful and praying and saying, Lord, help me in this area of my life. And we yield to God in those areas. And God makes us the men that God wants us to be. You know, I'm a pastor and I got kids. Most of my kids are grown. But I am not done God making me what he wants me to be. I'm not done. God still is working in me and trying to make me what I ought to be. And if I weren't so dumb, I'd yield to him more often. Right? Don't say amen right there. Amen. But it takes that. It takes this yielding. It takes saying, Lord, here I am. And our children thrive in these places. Now, it doesn't always mean that a child is called of God. Okay, it doesn't always mean that. I know some parents that are disappointed if their child is not called of God. I know that. But may I tell you what? The key is for them to grow up and learn to know God, regardless of whether he's called them or not. To walk with God, to honor God with their life, to live a holy and faithful life. That is whether they're called or not. Amen. And I believe even if they are called, then there should be even a higher importance placed on living this kind of godly, holy life. And some people think, perfection. We're all going to have faults. But holiness oftentimes in our life will cause us to acknowledge our imperfections and our faults. Amen. You know, I know some people, they can never acknowledge their own faults. They can never acknowledge. Everybody in the world sees them except them. And they can never acknowledge that. You know, that's a pitiful place to live. Because it's really a frustrating place to live because it causes you to think you're doing right or well when you're not. And you wonder why God doesn't bless that. But we can't see it. And I think key is being humble before God and honest before God. Say, Lord, make me what I need to be, this yielding. And this has this way of trickling right down to our families, our wives, and these little olive plants that are growing in our house. Amen. Thank the Lord. I got a daughter and a daughter-in-law that are going to have a baby soon. And I'm excited about that. Amen? I like the grandkids. I don't have to change any diapers. Amen? I just spoil them to death whenever they come. And then I can send them home to their mother. Amen? And give them kisses and loves and send them home to their mother. I like that. Amen? That's a joy to me. Hey, I like grandkids so much, I should have had them first. Amen? But the Bible talks about that, and we're going to get to that here. There's another verse here that talks about that. But point number five, we see here that God has a special blessing for Jerusalem. You know, God, look at verse 5. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Wow, what a promise. Now, God is not finished with Israel. God is not finished with Israel. God has a plan. They still are God's chosen people. Now, it doesn't mean they're necessarily saved, because a lot of them, in fact, most of the Jewish people today have rejected Christ as a Savior. But I believe there's coming a day when God, they will see him as he is. And they will recognize that he is and was the true Messiah. I believe that day's coming, and God's going to work in the hearts of the Jewish people according to a lot of prophecy. And they're going to, a lot of them are going to turn to God. That's exciting. So God's not done with Israel. God's not done with his people, his chosen people, his chosen land that he chose for them. And we see special blessings that are involved in that. And then we come here to verse number six. Look at this verse. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. Now, what's he saying here? He's talking about long life. You know, long life is a blessing of God. We over at the parsonage, every once in a while, we'll hear some car just speeding all out, going right down Eastern Avenue here. Some motorcycle will turn off Broadway and come on to Eastern. And boy, they'll gun that thing. By the time they reach the front of my house, they're going 80 miles an hour. And I can't help but think, you may not have long life if you keep doing those kind of things. Right? Now, I'm not criticizing motorcycles. Amen. I'm criticizing stupidity. Stupidity. And a lot of people, and sometimes even youth, neglects the importance of living for God and living wisely. Sometimes youth forsake those principles. But I'll tell you, when you serve the Lord and you're pleasing the Lord, there is a life that's long life. God blesses us, long life. And also for our children, you know, Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us that children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, some of you have old-fashioned parents, and if you didn't honor your father and mother, you were not going to live long on this earth. Right? And thank God for those old-fashioned ways, you know, in some ways. But this is this promise here of long life. Long life is a blessing of God. Amen? Long life is a blessing of God. And I know that sometimes God takes a good, godly person early. I understand that. And you say, why does God do that? You know, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. But I know one day there's a day coming when we're going to know it. We just have to put our faith in that day that we'll know. We'll know why God did what he did. But I can tell you this, God never does anything without a purpose. He never does anything without a reason. And it's up to us to put our faith in that reason. And trust him. But he said, you'll see your children's children. There's a promise. And I believe there's blessings even for our grandchildren. You want to give your grandchildren a godly heritage. You want to let them know, my grandma, my grandpa, they were Christians. They served the Lord. And just raise your kids in the Lord. Have them raise their kids in the Lord. This thing should just keep right on going and going. Never ends. It's a perpetual service of the Lord. And that thrills my soul. Amen? I want to live to see my grandkids grow up, serve the Lord, and answer the calls of God on their life. Yes. I want to see that. Amen? Praise the Lord. I love to see some of my kids grow up and be grandkids, grow up and be missionaries. Amen? And I don't do the calling. And their parents don't do the calling. God does the calling. But if you put these little olive plants in the place where they can grow, and God calls them, God will use them in his in their life. Amen? And I don't have enough money to support them all if they're going to be missionaries. But God does. Amen? God can take care of it. God knows the answer. So these are family promises in accordance oftentimes to the leadership that follows the Lord's. And these blessings come. Boy, I love the blessings of God. There's one thing I want and I need. It's the blessings of God on life. And, you know, when we think of blessings of God, sometimes we think only in monetary ways. And that's not all of the blessings of God. And I believe there are some monetary blessings in God. Don't get me wrong. But oftentimes our mind just goes to that. But hey, listen, children are a blessing of God. Amen. Children are a blessing of God. And our grandchildren are blessings of God. And we need to hold those blessings dear and important in our minds and in our hearts. And then lastly, this last phrase, verse 6, he talks about peace upon Israel, peace. That's a powerful word, peace. It means the heart has found the answer, and the answer suffices the heart such that it can rest and trust only in that answer, and that answer is God that brings his goodness to fruition in our life. Well, that's the peace of God. Amen? Peace of God. We're reminded to be careful for nothing. We're reminded not to live in worry and fear and dread. You know, some people dread getting up every day. Really? Some people dread getting up every day. Hey, every day is a day of the Lord, and the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. And we need to live our life every day, waking up, recognizing God's there, and that he's the controller, he's the leader of our life. And the promises of God through all these things of life can secure peace in our heart. They may not take away our burdens and our trials, but they're going to give us peace in our heart through the burden and through the trial. Amen? And then there are some trials that, thank God, he ends one day. Don't you think Job was thrilled when that trial he went through was finally over? Don't you think he was thrilled? I think Job was finally at peace. And we see how he grappled with God. And we see the struggle that he had in the trials that he was going through. But he kept his eye on God. He didn't understand everything, but he kept his eye on God. And he just kept trusting God. And there's peace through it. And God allowed that trial to end one day. Like one preacher said, he said, my favorite verse in the Bible is, and it came to pass. Oh, how true that is. Because a lot of our trials, God will see them through to pass them. We just want to pass the test in the middle of them. Pass the test of our trials. So we see in here these great family blessings. How God directs families and blesses them. Blessings for families through life. Great value to understand these blessings that God has. Let's keep them in our heart. Let's keep them in our mind. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning and thank you for the truths of it. Lord, I pray you penetrate your truths in our heart. Oh, give us these kind of homes and families, Lord, in a greater way, a greater vision, a greater closeness, a greater faithfulness, a greater love for you. Even in trials and troubles, Lord, may our homes be what they should be, to be blessed by God. So give us that kind of home. Thank you for this psalm. Lord, thank you for the truths of it. And I pray you'll use it in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.